Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?'" And verse 14, it says, "So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" Verse 16, "Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Amen. Turn over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 27. "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' So they answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.'" Amen. One more scripture in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 18. Chapter 9, verse 18, it says, "And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' So they answered and said, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say one of the old prophets has risen.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said, 'The Christ of God.'" Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the reading of your word, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word is truth. And I pray tonight that as we go over these scriptures, Father God, that as you ask us, who do we say that Jesus is, that we will come to know who Jesus is. If we do not know who Jesus is, that before we leave this building tonight, that we would find out who Jesus is. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that will be said and done tonight, that you may be glorified. No one else, Father God, but you may be glorified. For your word says, if I be lifted up, if Jesus be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. So tonight we want to lift up Jesus. We thank you and praise you in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a little history about Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a city that was full of idolatry. They had a big area there that particular area that they just worshipped idols. The walls were carved out with idol worship, idols, and people just worshiped that. And here we have in the three passages, we have where Jesus was with his disciples, and they were in Caesarea Philippi. And he turned to his disciples and said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" My question to you is, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Is he a prophet? Is he a good man? Is he the Son of God that we know that he is? Some say that he is the Son of God. Some others say that he's a great teacher, a prophet, or a good man. Jesus made astounding claims about himself. He said he was the only avenue to a relationship with God. John 14, 6 and 7, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me." That one is an astounding statement. He was telling the disciples, he was telling those that were around him, he was saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me." It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have or if you don't have any money. It doesn't matter if you're good or if you're bad. It doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. If you don't know Jesus, you can't get to the Father. That's not my words. That's Jesus' words. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter answered, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus didn't correct Peter. He said, "Blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, Jesus was saying to them, people didn't tell you who I am, but my Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit told him who Jesus was. Many people say that Jesus wasn't God, but a good moral man or a prophet. To say what Jesus said and to claim what he claimed about himself, you couldn't conclude he was a good moral man or a prophet. Either he was the Son of God, as he said he was, or he was a madman. Either he was the Son of God, or he was a madman. To say the things that he said and the things that he did, either he was God or he was crazy. Jesus claimed to be God. If it were false, we have two options. One, either he was a liar or he was crazy. I want to just go over a little bit about if he was a liar. Was he a liar? If he knew he wasn't God, he was lying and deliberately deceiving his followers. Deliberately deceiving if he was lying. If he was a liar, he was also a hypocrite because he told others to be honest, whatever the cost. He was then living a lie. If he was lying, he was also a demon because he told others to trust in him for their eternal destiny. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. And yet he was telling people to trust in him. So if he was a liar, he was deceiving the people. If he was a liar, he was also a fool because his claims to being God led to his crucifixion. What he said led to his crucifixion. The religious people of that day didn't like the fact what he said and what he did, and that caused him to be crucified. Was he a great moral teacher? Many other religions say that he was. But how could he be if he misled the people into believing that he was God? Someone who lived as Jesus lived, taught as he taught, and died as he died, could not have been a liar. Well, maybe he was crazy. Maybe he was crazy. Could he really believe that he was God but mistaken? It is possible to be both sincere and wrong. How many of you know people that truly believe in something that they say, but we really know that they're wrong in what they're saying? Well, could Jesus be truly believe what he was saying but really be wrong? He told others that their eternal destiny depended on believing in him. When we see someone today and they claim to be God, how many of us think that they're kind of crazy? You know, did you ever see it on the news? They arrest this person for something, and he says, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm coming back to save the world. And we know the guy has kind of lost it. In Jesus, we never saw any imbalance or abnormalities. He spoke some of the most profound sayings ever recorded. Was Jesus crazy? I think not. Was Jesus Lord, as he claimed? John 20:31 says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Matthew 1:23 says, the virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then we go down to verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was the Word? Who was the Word? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was God, Jesus. And the Word became flesh, Jesus. And he dwelt among us. Amen? The name Jesus, in the Hebrew form of Yeshua or Joshua, it means the Lord saves. The name Christ is a title. And that's from the Greek word for Messiah, which means the anointed one. So Jesus Christ, the Lord saves, the anointed one. Christ refers to two titles, king and priest. Christ was king and he was the high priest. These two offices affirmed Jesus as the promised prince, a priest and king from the Old Testament prophecies. Again, I ask you the question, who do you say this man Jesus is? Is he a good man? Is he a moral man? Or is he Lord and Savior? In Matthew 21:10, Jesus was riding into Jerusalem. We just finished the Easter season, the triumph, the Palm Sunday, where he rode into Jerusalem, and then we had the Easter season, the Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Well, on Palm Sunday, the Bible says in Matthew 21 that Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, and there were some that were shouting, "Hosanna," and they were waving palms at him, and they were waving palms. But then there were others who said, "Who is this man?" They didn't know who he was. They just saw him riding in, and they heard people shouting and praising him. And the question was asked, "Who is this man?" And I'm saying to you tonight, do you know who this man Jesus is? Do you have just a head knowledge of Jesus, or do you have a heart knowledge? Just like we sang that song, "The more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him, the more I love him." And that's what it is. I've often said to people, people will miss heaven by 12 inches, the difference from here to here. We have a head knowledge of Jesus. We were raised in church, and we were either forced to go to church or we went to church, and we heard about Jesus and heard the stories, and we have it all up here. But one day, the more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him, the more I love him. He came from here to here. The Bible says when we accept Christ, he comes into our heart. The Holy Spirit lives within us. He loves us. He cares for us. Jesus died a cruel death upon the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. If you ask Moses who he was, he'll tell you Jesus was the seed of the woman. If you ask Jacob who he was, he'll tell you he was the Shiloh of the tribe of Judah. If you ask David, he will tell you he's the King of Glory. If you ask Isaiah who he was, he'll tell you Emmanuel, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Ask Jeremiah, and he'll tell you he's the Righteous Branch. Ask Daniel, and he'll tell you who he was the Messiah. Ask John the Baptist, and he'll tell you the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Remember when John the Baptist was in the river and he was baptizing and he saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Right now, we're in the Passover season and we're in the Easter season or the resurrection season. And if we go back into history, what does Passover represent? It represents that the Israelites had to kill the lamb and take the blood and put it over the doorposts of their home, and that was for protection from the death angel, that the death angel would pass over their home. As long as they were under the covering of the blood of the lamb, they were protected. Now, if they just walked right outside the door, if they stood on the other side of the door and the death angel came, they would die right on that spot, because the word of God said that they had to stay inside their homes. The blood was applied to the doorpost. And as long as they were under the blood, they were protected. Well, Jesus went to the cross. The blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You see, the Israelites, every year, they had to kill the lamb and bring the lamb to the high priest. And they had to kill it and take it for their sins. And it was for an atonement. It was a covering for their sins. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, didn't cover our sins anymore. He took them away. Amen. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ washes your sins away. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus washes our sins away, never to be remembered again. The enemy will bring up to your remembrance what you did last year or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You know what? And the Holy Spirit says, "What sin?" When you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, they're never to be remembered again. They're put in the sea of forgetfulness. Don't let the enemy rob you of your past. If you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, if you're following after him, those sins are washed away. They're behind you. You got to look forward. Look forward to the cross. Look forward to what Jesus Christ has done for you. He cares for you. He loves you. And he doesn't want you to look back. He wants you to look forward. Now, naturally, the Bible says that when we accept Christ into our hearts, we become new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. But we still live in a world of sin. And we have to keep our eyes on him. That when we do sin, we have an advocate that sits next to the Father. Jesus is your attorney. Jesus is my attorney. And you know what? When you make a mistake, when you sin, when you fail, all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And you know what Jesus does? He turns to his Father and he says, Dad, he says, you got to forgive Fred because I purchased his blood. I went to the cross for Fred Tolliver. 2,000 years ago, even though I wasn't alive, Jesus went to the cross for me, for the sins that I've committed. He washed my sins away when I asked him to come into my heart. And like we sang that song, the more I seek him, the more I find him. You know, it's not just, you know, you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and that's it. You got to seek him more. And the more you seek him, the more you're going to find him. And the more you find him, the more you're going to love him. So continue on. You know, don't just come and just say, well, I know Jesus now and that's it. You know what I mean? No, you want to know more of him. When I was growing up and I was saved, I had given my heart to the Lord, and that's all I cared about. I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all I wanted to do was get into the gates of heaven. That's all I cared about. Just making it in. You know what I mean? Just making it in. And I used to share that with my wife, and she used to cringe. What do you mean, just make it in? There's so much more. And I realized, God showed me, he said, you know what, Fred? He says, it's like you going into an Italian pastry shop and just getting in the door and looking at all that good stuff in there, but you're at the door. You're not even going in to partake of any of that. Well, that's what heaven is. It's not a pastry shop. You know what I mean? It's where the presence of Jesus is. You know, and the Bible talks about that the streets are going to be paved with gold. And Jesus said he goes to prepare a mansion for us. And we're all excited about that. You know that someday when the Lord takes us home or if the rapture takes place, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to see the streets of gold and the beautiful mansions. You know what? We're not even going to worry about that. Because when we see Jesus, one look upon his face, all sorrow will erase. We won't care about the streets of gold. We won't care about the mansion that he's built just over the hilltop. We will see Jesus, and being in the presence of Jesus, nothing else will matter. Nothing else. Just being in his presence. That's what it's all about. I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if I don't make it out of this building tonight, I know I'm going to be with him, you know? And naturally, you know, when you ask how many people want to go to heaven, and I'm sure everybody, you raise your hand. Well, you know how you get to heaven? You got to die to get there, or the rapture, you know? So people want to go to heaven, but you say, how many want to die to get there? Oh, well, you know, it's, you know. Everything is in God's time, you know what I mean? If God calls us home tonight, praise God. We'll spend eternity with him, you know? But that's the important thing. Where will you spend eternity? I saw on a sign in a church one time, it says, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? You know, it's not all about just coming to church, whether it's this church or any other church. This church will not save you. The blood of Jesus Christ will save you. You can take your stuff from your house and move it into this building, and you can live here for the rest of your life. That will not make you a Christian. That will not make you a Christian, just like going into McDonald's won't make you a hamburger. You know what I mean? It's your life. It's what you do with Jesus. It's allowing Jesus Christ to change your heart and change your life and do a work in you. You know, we're a work in progress. You know, we want to keep growing in him. You know, it's not just, well, now that I'm saved, my name is written in the Lamb's Book, and that's it. God has so much more for you. You know, the Bible says that when we die and we go to heaven, whether we die or the rapture takes place, we're going to spend 7 years with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then the Bible says we're going to come back and rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Christ is going to be king. He's going to set up his kingdom from Jerusalem. And we who have come back with him will rule and reign. Each one of us will have a position in authority ruling and reigning on this earth. So as you serve him, now, like the Bible says, you can't get to heaven by your works, but you will be rewarded for your works. God, Jesus Christ died on the cross for each and one of our sins, but if we could earn our salvation through works, then his death on the cross would have meant nothing. But his death on the cross was for each and every one of us. And now God wants us to serve him in a more excellent way. So what I'm saying to you tonight is get to know him more. In the Bible it says, who was Jesus? If we see in Genesis, he was the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he was the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he was a prophet like unto Moses. Who is Jesus? In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he was the lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? That's my question. Who is Jesus to you tonight? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? In Job, he's our ever-living Redeemer. In Psalms, he's the Lord our Shepherd. In Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In Solomon, he's our lover and our bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's our Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, the righteous branch. In Lamentations, the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, the prophetic prophet. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. The fourth man in the fiery furnace. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. He's the fourth person. If it's just you, it's you and him. No matter what you're going through in your life, it's you and Jesus. You know, and he'll go before you. He'll go before you. Sometimes he'll stand alongside you. Sometimes he'll stand behind you. And sometimes he's going to pick you up and he's going to carry you through. He's the footprints in the sand. The sand, the troubles in your life, he's the one that's going to carry you through. You're not going to do it on your own. When you have Jesus, why try to do it on your own? Call upon him. Allow him. Amen. Who is Jesus? In Hosea, he's the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty to save. In Jonah, he's our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the messenger. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist, crying for repentance. In Zephaniah, he's our savior. In Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's our encourager to rebuild the temple. He wants to encourage you to rebuild the temple of your lives. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to rebuild it, to make it stronger. Don't you want Jesus? If Jesus was to come to your house tonight and to visit you, wouldn't you want it to be nice and clean and everything nice and tidy and everything? Well, that's what it is. Jesus is living in your heart. Make it clean. Allow him to work in your life. In Malachi, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Spirit. In Romans, he's the justifier. In Corinthians, he's the gift of the Spirit. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God that supplies all of our needs. Remember that. He's the God that supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Thessalonians, he's the soon coming king. In Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. The word of God says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. Guess what? He's our attorney. Jesus Christ is our attorney. He's the best attorney you could ever have. And you know what? It doesn't cost you anything. He already paid the price. Amen? In Titus, he's the faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the great physician. In Peter, he's the chief shepherd who soon shall appear. In John, he's the everlasting love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. And in Revelations, he's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who is Jesus tonight to you? He was Abel's sacrifice. He was Noah's rainbow. He was Abraham's ram. He was Isaac's wells. He was Jacob's ladder. He was Issachar's burdens. He was Samuel's rod of oil. He was Daniel's slingshot. He was Isaiah's big pulley. He was Hezekiah's sundial. He was John's pearly white city. He was Peter's healing shadow. Who is Jesus? He's the husband to the widow. He's the father to the orphan. He's the pearl of great price and a rock in a weary land. He is the Prince of Peace. And the government of my life and your life rests on his shoulders. Who is he? He's Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Amen. Do you know him tonight? Do you know him tonight? Shall we stand? Do you know Jesus tonight? Do you know him as a head knowledge, or do you know him as a heart knowledge? I'd like you to just bow your heads and close your eyes tonight. I don't want any looking around. This is important tonight for someone here tonight. Someone might come to church. Maybe you've never been in a church before. Maybe you've been here before. Maybe you spend every week in the church. But do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? As you close your eyes and bow your heads and no looking around, this is very important. You're here because God wanted you here. You might have come for other different reasons, but you're here because God wanted you here, and God is speaking to you, and he's saying, I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. And it's a free gift. All you need to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and accept him. If you reject Jesus, the free gift, you're rejecting God. And when you stand before God someday, whenever that is, and you say, well, I never heard about Jesus. Well, God will bring back to your remembrance August 15th, 2009, when you came to Evangel Church and Pastor Fred spoke to you about Jesus. So I'm saying to you with eyes closed and heads bowed, if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, I ask you, would you like to invite him into your heart? We're not all going to turn around and look at you. We're not all going to make a spectacle of you. But you're saying yes to Jesus tonight. You're saying that I am a sinner and I need Jesus. For without Jesus, you're lost. If you were to go out into eternity, do you know without a doubt that you would go into the presence of our Lord? Do you know that if you died, that you would go home to be with Jesus? It's a very important thing. Think about it. Consider it. If you would like to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, all you have to do is raise your hand and say, yes, I would like to invite Jesus in. Jesus loves you. And like we sang that song, the more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him, the more I love him. Jesus is calling to you, and he's saying, he's calling you by name. He knows you. Do you know him as Savior and Lord? Or do you just know him as someone that came 2,000 years ago? Jesus is saying to you, he loves you and he cares for you. Would you like to invite Jesus Christ into your heart? If you would like to invite Jesus Christ in, raise your hand and we will pray with you. Just raise your hand real high if you would like to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you, Father, for each and every one that is here tonight says they know you as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for each and every heart, Lord. Each one come out, Lord, to be touched by you. And I know, Lord God, that you are faithful and you touched each heart, Lord God. I pray that you would minister, Lord. And I pray tonight, if there's someone that was maybe a little shy or embarrassed about raising their hand, I pray, Father, that they would pray this sinner's prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've failed you. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. I ask you to come in my heart and take over my life and help me to be, Lord, the one that you want me to be. Father, we know that when one sinner repents, all heaven rejoices. The Bible says all heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. So, Father, we pray for each and every one that their names, Lord, if they were a little too embarrassed or shy about raising their hand, I pray before they go to sleep that they would say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. And the Bible says when you do that, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you stand before God someday, God will open up the books and he will see your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he will say, come in and enjoy the wonders of heaven. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one that has come out. We know each one has a busy schedule, Lord God, but they have come out to hear from you. Not to hear from me, but Holy Spirit, they've come to hear from you. I pray that the words that were said would sink deep into the hearts and lives of every individual here, and you would draw them closer to you. For your word says, if Jesus be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. And I'm not here that I would draw you unto me, but I want you to see Jesus in me, and I want you to be drawn to him. For Jesus Christ is the one that died on the cross for your sins, and he cares for you, and he loves you. I pray for each and every person that has a need here. You know what they have need of, Father, before they even would make mention of it, Father. You know what that need is. There might be some that are sick in body, Father. There might be some that have a financial need, oh God. Then there might be some that are going, they just lost their jobs, Lord. There might be some that are having marital problems, oh God. Father, you know each and every heart, each and every life. So, Father, as they just leave their burdens at the foot of the cross and say, Lord God, I'm leaving my burdens to you. I'm going to trust in you, for you said you would take care of me. So I pray for each and every one, Father, as you go up and down the aisles here, as you go up and down and visit each and every person in their seat, Father, I pray that you would stop and minister to them in such a special way that they would feel your presence, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, hallelujah, that we were able to open up the doors of Evangel Church of God. We thank you, Father, that Evangel Church of God is a lighthouse in this community. It's about sharing the love of Jesus. It's not about a building, but it's sharing the love of Jesus. So, Father, we pray, Lord, for each one that has come out. I pray, touch them in a special way. Touch those, Lord God, that even walk by the building, Lord God, or drive by the building and look at the words that we have on the sign, oh God. Father, that it would cause them to say, to want to come in. We thank you, Lord. One day we heard someone was walking by in a Sunday morning and heard the worship team just practicing. That's all they were doing is practicing. And it drew that person in. He wanted to come and hear what was going on inside this place. Father, we have gathered in this building, in this location, to glorify you. Not to glorify man, but to glorify a risen Savior and a risen Lord. And Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, as long as the doors in this building are open, we will glorify you. We will lead others, Lord, to the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, Father, now as we close, O Lord, and as we go to our respective homes, O Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just meet us in a special way tonight, that you would watch over each and every one of us, Father. And if you should tarry, Lord, bring us back again safely, Lord, on Sunday, O Lord. Father, for we truly thank you, Lord, for this house of worship, O God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country, O God, not to worry about the authorities walking in the building and trying to put a stop to what we say, O God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our servicemen and women all over the world, oh God, that are fighting for freedom, Lord, and those that have fought before and those that have died before, that we could have freedom to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord God, let the spark of Jesus Christ, Lord, let the spark of the Holy Spirit just infill each and every heart, Father God, that they would desire more of you, Lord God, and be, Lord, a willing vessel to give an account of the joy, to be ready to give an account of the joy that lies within them. So, Father, we thank you again for the privilege of being here. Thank you for each and every one that you have brought from all different places, Lord, to be here, Father. I pray that you would encourage, touch them, Lord, in such a special way. And we give you thanks. And everyone said, amen.